Welcome to The Word at Westminster, a podcast with talks, studies, interviews, sermons, and more from Westminster Church in Barrie, Canada. It's about learning and living God's Word. In the Bible, there are virtues and there are vices. These are traits to cultivate and traits to purge. In the 6th century, Pope Gregory I curated a list that we know today as the seven deadly sins. Pride was first on the list. Its corresponding virtue was and is humility. But if pride is so bad and humility is so good, what is it? This episode will provide a definition, which I believe is faithful to how the word is used in the Bible. Speaking of which, here are a few of the times it is mentioned. In James 4:10, the half-brother of Jesus says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." The Apostle Peter says something similar in 1 Peter 5:6, and both of these statements echo Jesus' own words in Matthew 23:12. "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Proverbs 3:34 says, "Toward the scorners he, God, is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor." That verse was so well known that it is alluded to in two other places in the New Testament. Further, there are times when the humility of a biblical character is celebrated. One example is Mary in Luke 1, verses 46 to 55, a passage famously known as the Magnificat. Another is Jesus himself in Philippians 2, verses 5 to 11, where we are told to be like Jesus, who humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. When it comes to zeroing in on a definition, the Thayer Lexicon says that it has to do with littleness, modesty, and even lowliness of mind. Interestingly, it mentions that the word for humility is very rarely used by secular writers outside of the Bible at the time, and when it is used negatively. This already tells us that there is something countercultural about the biblical ideal of humility. The Freiburg Lexicon includes the ideas of voluntary submission and selflessness. Now, in light of what we know about Jesus, that makes sense. Literary critic and author C.S. Lewis picks up on this when he writes, "Humility isn't thinking less of yourself, but of yourself less." I've also become fond of an insight by Henry Nouwen. He pointed out that we live in a society that values upward mobility. Think of the ladder of success, which, by the way, seems to imply stepping over other people in the process. In contrast, Nouwen coined the phrase downward mobility. That's good. And it leads us into a definition that I think is faithful to the biblical picture. Here it is. Humility is being down to earth and unpretentious as you yield to God for the benefit of others. Humility is being down to earth and unpretentious as you yield to God for the benefit of others. Let's break that definition down one idea at a time. First, the English word humility is connected to the word humus, meaning ground or soil. That's where the down-to-earth part comes in. It's seeing things as they are, in a way that is honest and on the ground level, without pretense or show. Second, this definition makes it clear that humility includes yielding to God. The opposite of humility is pride and arrogance. These presume to know better than the Lord does. However, we exist for God, not the other way around. This phrase makes that clear. Third, we live this way for the benefit of others. This is the opposite of being self-serving. The Great Command is about loving God and the people around us. It is focused outward, not inward. And this was certainly true for Christ, and it can be true for us as well. Tim Keller points out that in this, there's a measure of self-forgetfulness. We become so centered on God that we become less and less concerned with our reputation or what other people think. So here's that definition again. Humility is being down to earth and unpretentious as you yield to God for the benefit of others. Is it just me, or is humility downplayed as a modern virtue? Perhaps this is because humility has become confused with getting walked all over or being taken advantage of, but those are different things. I think that people who are truly humble hold within themselves a powerful confidence. After all, they don't feel the need to bring attention to themselves or be first in line. They know they are first and foremost serving God. They have an ultimate audience of one. In addition to a deep inner confidence, humble people are also generally more successful when engaged in spiritual warfare. Our adversary, Satan, can exploit our pride to gain influence over us, just as he can exploit our anger, unforgiveness, or dabbling in the occult or false religion. Humility is an antidote to the devil. It's not the only ingredient in this battle, but it's certainly critical. In his book Unseen Warfare, Lorenzo Scopoli writes, "For how can grace, which comes to help and enlighten us, enter that man who thinks of himself that he is something great, that he himself knows everything and needs no outside help? May God preserve us from this disease and passion of Lucifer." May God preserve us from this disease and passion of Lucifer, end quote. Scopoli calls pride a disease. He also calls it a passion of Lucifer. Why? Because it helps his cause, not yours. Pride pushes God away, but humility yields to his rule. The devil doesn't want you to focus on him only. The devil wants you to focus on you, because the more you are focused on you, the less you are focused on God. Since we live in a world that is soaked and saturated by a desire for bigger, better, more, not only in our driveways, bank accounts, and social media audiences, but in our mirrors, we constantly need to be reminded about how Jesus defined greatness. And yes, you guessed it, it isn't what most people think. In Mark 9, the disciples were arguing about who was greatest. Jesus responded by saying, "Anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." That's Mark 9:35. So, according to Jesus, true greatness is servanthood. To be clear, humility is often seen as weakness in the eyes of the world, but it is seen as greatness in the eyes of God. When I was young, we would sometimes read the Mr. Men books. One of them was Mr. Topsy Turvy. Things were very unexpected in his world. His curtains hung upside down instead of right side up. He said, "Morning good," instead of "good morning." I can only imagine that Jesus came across in much the same way to many people, but in a more profound way. He turned their expectations upside down. As we know from reading the New Testament, this is often the way when it comes to the kingdom of God. Selflessness instead of selfishness, love instead of la-di-da, grace instead of blame, truth instead of excuses, and following Jesus instead of the crowd. Humility is being down to earth and unpretentious, as you yield to God for the benefit of others.